Blog Talk Radio.
Abba Yah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. I ask, Father, that you forgive me for my sins. I ask, Father, that you put your Spirit upon me, that you put your words in my mouth, and that I speak only what's pleasing to you. Father, for Israel, we ask that you forgive us for our sins. We ask that you put your Spirit upon us, to continue to grow us, continue to bring us closer to you, and that we always be the apple of your eye. Strengthen us by your Spirit. Lead us, guide us. Keep us in your path, Father, and when we go to the left or to the right, chastise us with your loving kindness. Be merciful to us, Father. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we just flat out ignore. But we ask, Father, that you continue to be long-suffering with us, that you continue to show patience with us, and that you continue to be the Father that you say you are, the Father that you continue to prove that you are, the Mighty One of Israel. We ask, Father, that you continue to bless us, and above all, we ask that you never take your Holy Spirit away from us, Father. Thank you for the Sabbath day. Thank you for this day of rest, and thank you for just setting apart time for us, our time. Hallelujah. Welcome to Bible 101. Before we get started, it's ice everywhere in Baltimore. We've been with a nice bunch of ice. So we're broadcasting on Blog Talk today. Normally, we would have interactions with everyone, and I kind of want to keep that same thing going on here. So I got the dashboard up. I'm going to try to see if I can operate it so people can call in and make comments, and if they have questions, we can ask them and answer them. So what I'm going to do, I see a number I recognize, Brother Yaquel. I'm going to hit this. Can you hit the button to try to chime in? Number 3, I think it is. And I'm going to try to zap you in and see if people can hear. Can you hear me, Brother Yaquel?
Shalom, Aki. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. All is well.
All right. So I'm figuring out how to work this dashboard. So when people want to chime in, we can bring them in. And it should be a couple on here, correct?
You have the control.
All right. All right. So I'm going to put you back on mute. Toda.
Amen.
All right. So if you have a question or want to make a comment or something, just hit I believe it's 3 on your pad or whatever number it says that you can hit, and we'll try to get to your question and we'll answer. We're not going to try. We're going to get to your questions and we're going to answer them because, like I said, this is the normal setting. Is we have questions and answers and stuff like that, and I want to keep that going on. So today, Bible 101, and before we get started, it was a scripture that the Most High put on my mind. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, and my phone just went dead. Try to use this other one. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:40. And it reads, "Let all things be done decently and in order." So, originally, when we started up Blog Talk, and specifically Bible 101, and the Hebrew classes, this was supposed to be for new believers, and it was supposed to be what you would call beginner's classes or kiddie classes or stuff like that, for new believers. But as Yahweh gives you stuff in the simplicity of his word, other things start coming along. And so sometimes we were giving out too much meat and not enough milk. Now, that's not to say that, everything that Yahweh gave us is what Yahweh gave us, flat out. But originally, this was supposed to be a beginner's class for new believers. And not that we got away from that, but we did kind of get away from that. So the Most High gave Yaquel, he didn't give Yaquel personally, but a dream was told to Yaquel. And he was, we had to go back to the beginner stuff. We had to get back to the basics. And that's the order that the Most High wants. See, because one thing that we don't want is to be like these folks out here who don't have a good foundation in the Word. That's when these things were told to me. That's what the Most High put on my mind. Because you have a lot of people out here who believe things that simply aren't true and can't be substantiated by the word. So our brother Ariel was talking to someone on Facebook, and this person believes that Yahweh done away with the Sabbath. That's a belief that this person has, and it's spreading. That she says that when you celebrate the Sabbath, or if you keep the Sabbath, it's actually rebelling against the Most High. And so she gave a scripture to support that, which was in Hosea. And it talks about how Yahweh tells them, your Sabbaths shall cease. But because she doesn't have a foundation and she doesn't understand that Israel actually made up Sabbaths. Israel actually made Sabbaths up. And this prophet Hosea was sent to the house of Israel where they were actually making up Sabbaths. We read that in the book of Kings, I believe, where it talks about you don't have to go up to Jerusalem. You can celebrate the feast days here. And don't go up on the seventh month, on the 15th day. Come up on the eighth month, on this day. So Israel actually made Sabbaths. And that's what the Most High wanted to stop. But because we don't have a foundation, and she didn't have a foundation and didn't look into the history, didn't look into the rest of the stuff, she now has a belief that the Sabbath is done away with by the Most High. You know, and it's a lot of people out there like that. You know, I was at work, and one of the things that the Most High showed me was this whole thing about Paul doing away with the law. And I want to read y'all an account. In the book of Acts. Because a lot of people keep on saying this. But the word says that Paul was on trial for it, and he was cleared of all these charges. But this is a 2,000-year-old argument that Paul done away with the law. In the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 18, it says, and on the following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. So Paul is presenting himself after some time, because before then they were making their way back to Judea. And he's presenting himself before the elders. And he said, and when he had, verse 19, and when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things Elohim had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified Yahweh and said unto him, thou seest, brothers, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. So all these people heard that Paul is telling people to not circumcise his children and don't worry about what Moses said. This is the report that came. Verse 22, what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say thee. We have four men which have a vow on them, and purify with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know what those things whereof they are informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou also walkest orderly, that he walkest orderly, Paul, that you walk orderly and keep the law. So this was the verdict of the elder to show everybody that Paul keeps the law. So, because all the stuff that people were saying wasn't true. And 2,000 years later, people are still saying the same thing that ain't true. It's not true. Why? Because they lack a foundation. And some people are doing it on purpose. Some people just don't know. So the people who are doing it on purpose, Most High are going to deal with them. But the ones who just don't know, they're the ones we have to deal with. All right? So the foundation is very important. You know, the foundation of things is very important. And with that being said, you know, things got revamped. You know, so we got to get back to foundational things. All right. So today, we're going to talk about a foundational thing, a basic belief. And the question for today is, what is God? So, I'm going to read y'all. No, I'm not going to read that right now. So, what is God? It's a question out there for anything, anybody. You know, like I said, you chime in and we can speak. So, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, from the onset, the first thing that God wants us to know about himself is that he creates. He has this ability to bring forth things. Now, as we continue to learn, we learn that in the third verse, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So, in order for him to speak something, he has to have knowledge. In order for him to have knowledge, he has to have what we would call a brain. He has to have something, ability about him to bring forth a thought. So that means he can bring forth, he can reason, he can intellect, he can do these things with function. We'll read something else in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 20, this is him speaking again. Elohim spake all these words, saying, and we're going to jump down to verse 3. Well, we can read too. I am Yahweh, your mighty one, your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. So, one of the things that in his thought process, in his thought pattern, is that you're not supposed to bring other gods before him. You're not supposed to bring up other gods and, you know, and say before him in his face. Don't throw up anything in his face. In his thoughts, in his process of thinking, he understands that man will do stuff like that. So this thing that he created will have a tendency of putting stuff before him in his thought process, in man's thought process. I'm going to save that part for later. Another thing he also says, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 14, he says, "You shall not go after other gods." Of the gods of the people which are around you.
So,
another thing that he's, and these are all the same thing. These are all basically the same thing. This particular God, which we serve, that created, doesn't want you to deal with other gods. Now, simply put, a God is something that you serve, something that you give your service to.
One of the definitions that I looked up this one here, it says, a superhuman being or spirit worshipped as having power over nature or human fortunes, a deity. But they also have down here, image, idol, animal, or other object worshipped as divine or symbolizing a god. Something adored, admired, or influential person. A thing accorded the supreme importance of. So, and that was from, dictionary.com, I think. So again, whatever you are giving your admiration to, whatever is influencing you, whatever is, you know, in order for this God who created everything to tell us not to put another God in his face, go after other gods, and especially about the gods that the people around him. He understands that people are going to make gods. He understands that there is going to be something that influences people where it affects his influence. You know? So, and this is something that he doesn't want. So whatever you give your admiration to, whatever you give your, whatever influences you, that's your God. The fact that it can be nature, in some cases, and Yaquiel is funny. I was sitting in the car with Mario, and we were listening last night to Yaquiel teach. I was like, man, there you go again, touching on my lesson. But like you said, science, astrology, you know, all these things are gods to people. Yourself, because they have this thing called narcissism, where are such an influence on you that the Most High is like second to everything. All right? He's not influencing you and can't influence you because you refuse to let him. All right? So this is what the Most High doesn't want. So now, I'm going to look at something. Because God can think, right? Before we do that, in Genesis, go back to Genesis chapter 1, It says this, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Excuse me. So now we have another aspect of God, Spirit, which we're not going to get into the Hebrew, but basically it is getting into the Hebrew. That word is ruach, it's his breath, it's that life which keeps him, which it's him, it's his essence, you know. So we're going to see something. Exodus 31, verse 1, it says, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of Elohim, of God, in wisdom and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. All right? So, we see an aspect of his spirit. It imparts wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and in all manner, and it can cause you to work. So, because he can move, right? He can interact. He can influence, right? His spirit is going to cause you to know stuff and gain understanding, gain wisdom, gain knowledge. Verse 4, and it was talking about what this particular spirit did with this man to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and brass and so forth and so forth. So the spirit that was on the Most High influences you to do something. Now, you these other quote-unquote spirits influence you to do something. The other gods that the Most High says that this particular God that created says don't go after. What is the influence of them? What are they influencing you, putting in you? Is it a breath that causes you wisdom, knowledge, understanding? What do you work for? So he tells us to stay away from these gods. And the fact that he acknowledges them as gods ought to let us know something. He acknowledges them as gods. He doesn't want us to get caught up in that. All right? Any questions or comments so far? I don't see nobody chiming in. All right. So we're going to keep it moving. Leviticus 19:31. It says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am Yahweh, your God. So again, he's speaking on different spirits. Now, why is it that he goes into such length about
We can go through a whole list of stuff where he tells people to stay away from these other spirits. Just stay with him. Now, oops. He says this. This is in the New Testament. Particular one I'm looking for is the verse talking about how these gods are not gods at all. Something about eating unclean, eating foods, not eating unclean foods, but eating foods. So you offer up these prayers to these gods, and they're not gods at all. There it is. It's devils. I'm looking for it. I can't find it. But Paul talks, I believe Paul said it. He talks about how when you're eating these foods and you offer up these prayers, you're not offering them up to the God of creation. You're offering them up to demons. All right? So, he said you're offering up to demons. Technology is good. Oh, 1 Corinthians 10. Oh, yeah, brother, sending me scriptures. Hold on for 1 second. What do you talk, Brother Yakel?
Shalom, shalom, my king.
Well,
yeah, one of the passages that it seemed that you were talking about, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is Jeremiah 11:12. And in that passage, it says, then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. The other reference that you made in regard to something that Brother Paul said, and what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils.
There it is. That's what I was looking for. Told I. I don't know if you chimed in or not, but I didn't see anything flash.
No, I didn't push the button to chime in, but when you mentioned the scriptures, I started looking for the scripture. But continue, my brother. All is well.
All right.
Amen.
All right. That's what I was looking for. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, as he read. Now, and also in 21, he continues. Well, 20, just get the whole thought. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, all right? Sacrifice just showing your worship to, giving your influence. These things are influencing you, all right? You're giving your ambiance, you're giving your praise to, right? He said you're sacrificing these things to devils and not to God. And I would not have that you have a fellowship with devils. Verse 21, ye cannot drink of the cup of the master and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the master's table and the table of devils. All right? So, he's making a comparison. He's making a comparison to himself and these other gods, right? So now, let's look at something else. Because he said something. Now, these are other gods that he said.
In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 28, he says, "And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell." So if it can't do these different things, that means it can't think. It takes your mind to allow your eyes to see. It takes your mind to allow your nose to smell. All these things are done by His Spirit. All of them. So, you're serving something that cannot do these things. Now, you have the God that created, and you have these other gods, which are called devils and demons. Now he threw in some other gods in there, which aren't even alive. They don't even have spirit in them. All right? So you have these things. You have the influence of the one who created everything. Then you have the influence of spirits that he calls familiar or the devils and demons. You have that influence. Then you have the influence of stuff ain't even alive, a materialistic influence, so to speak, or one of the ways. Money influences people. Money is a god to somebody. Money can't think. Silver and gold cannot think. It can't impart anything on you. Jordans can't impart anything on you. The cars, the houses, and stuff like that can't impart anything on you. The God of people. This is their God. This is what influencing them. You know, a lot of people just say, they had this thing, money over everything. That's a popular saying now. And this is how people are thinking. The influence of the paper has caused people to go astray. Questions or comments? I'm saying that, looking to see if anybody going to chime in. All right, that's bigger. All right. So now, you have gods that are, you have the creator of everything, you have some other gods which are alive, then you have these other gods which aren't even alive. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 19, it reads, "And when the voice of the trumpet waxed long and waxed louder and louder, Moshe spoke, and God answered him by a voice." All right? Another one. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, it reads, "And after the earthquake, a fire." But Yahweh was not in the fire. "And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when
When Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What dost thou hear, Elijah?" The crazy thing about, before I get into that, the Creator has a voice, all right? And the crazy thing about our voices, they are distinct. Now, too many people who have, you have people who are out there who can imitate a voice, all right? Question is, why is this ability, why is this something that you practice? People who can imitate voices, when your voice is unique and distinct to you. The Most High has a voice that is unique and distinct to you. But the same way a man imitates voices, so does these spirits, these ones who, the demons, devils, the ones that he separated, that he's distinct from, right? They try to imitate the voice of the Most High. They try to, the word I'm looking for, mimic. Because when you really think about a mime or someone who mimics you, most of the time, a mimic is like standing in front of you and they mirror what you do. But the funny thing about a mirror is it's backwards. It looks similar and everything, but it's backwards. So if you hold up your right hand, they're doing the same thing, but it's their left hand. Because they're in your face and they're mimicking you. So it was something, it's something distinct about the voice of Yahweh. There you go. About the voice of the God that created everything. All right? Who were filled with his spirit, understood. They understood his voice. And understood that every mother understands the cry of their child. They can tell by a child's voice and the level and this and that, whether they need to jump up, whether they need to chill, or whether they need to walk, run, or whatsoever. Every time a child screams or yells or something like that, it's something in the mother to know that jump and roll. Or, oh, they just bumped their knee, they're good. I can walk up to this one. You know, because it's in their voice. A lot of people, very good movie, now that I think about it. It was a movie called Taken. And in the movie Taken, the character, I can't think of the dude's name. The only thing that he got, his daughter was taken, and the only thing that he had to go on was the voice of the man that this man spoke. He said two words. He said, "Good luck." And he hunted that man down on this voice, you know, because it became so distinct to him that he could have picked it out of a lineup. Well, that's how it is when the mighty, the God who created everything, his voice became so distinct to people who have his spirit now, because he's imparting his influence on you. It became so distinct that they could pick it out of a lineup. And there was no way that these people who could imitate him or who was trying to imitate him to get the drop on them. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. Okay, I'm trying to explain it the best that I can. That he impart his spirit on. The Messiah said it this way, and I'm kind of jumping ahead, didn't want to, but jumping ahead, my sheep know my voice. That's what he says. And that's how he described us. So, any questions or comments?
I tell you, it's
funny looking at this little screen. This is different. But Yahweh will be done. All right. So, again, these are foundational things. We have influence. We have a voice. Back to Genesis. Another aspect. In Genesis chapter 2, talking about this day, right? Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Elohim, God, created and made. Now, it's the other aspect of him, the sanctified part. He says this. He says, and this is the part where we are currently learning about, the holy part, or the set apart part, the part that he is sanctified. Now, first thing he says about this, about his sanctification. He says, and like the Leviticus, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. I can't find the thing I'm looking for, but he did says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So that's the verse I was looking for. I don't have the exact verse, number one. Now, he says himself that he is holy. He's separate from everything else. And he wants those that he has influence on to be separate from everything else. So therefore, all the stuff that we talked about before, the influence of other gods, the influence of things like that, I need you to separate yourself from that. Now, in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 16, he says, "And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of the uncleanness." So, not only is he holy, all right, but, excuse me, the place where he dwells, the place where he is going to be, is holy. When we look at the first meeting of the Most High with Moses, when he was up on the mount, he saw him. He told him, "Take your shoes off, because the place right here, you're standing on holy ground." So he wants us to understand, because I am holy, I need everything around me to be set apart, separated. So when they built him a tabernacle, they separated, right? Leviticus chapter 20,
verse 3. This is what he says. For the people who he influences. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him. He's naming someone in particular. Let's just start at verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, again, I think it's 11:44. Leviticus 11:44. Leviticus 11:44, it says, for I am Yahweh, your mighty one. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, set yourselves apart, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves of any man or creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, again, Todah says, that's what he wants from the people that he influences. Because I am holy, because I am set apart, you shall be set apart. Right? Now, back to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. So now, he's naming a god in particular. All right? So now, and he does that through the word, because we have the god of Baal, Ba-God, he calls Baal Peor, and Ashtoreth, and what's another? Krishna. So he names certain gods in particular that are influencing their followers to do things that is against the God that created everything. Right? He says, verse 3. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary. So the first thing he said, we just read how we're separate and we're not supposed to defile ourselves back in Leviticus 11:44. He says, you're defiling my sanctuary and profaning my holy name, which is we're going to get to that at another date. We didn't set it and a couple times. Didn't want to, but it happens. And profane my holy name. So now, sanctuary is defiled when we are under the influence of other gods. Name defiled when we are under the influence of other gods. Verse 4. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he gives his seed to Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off from all the whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. Now, he just gave another cause, the influence of other gods, whoredom. What type of relationship, or how does he see us? How does the God that created everything sees the people that he influences? Well, how is he looking at them? What is he looking at them as? When he says, okay, you're committing whoredom. Foundational teachings. And what we're going to do is, for today, we're going to stop. All right? I'm going to open up the lines right now, and if anybody has any questions or comments, hopefully y'all will chime in and speak. I don't see anybody. All right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just open up the lines and, oh, here we go. One popped up. Wow. All right.
I just wanted to turkey back on something that you had mentioned when you started talking, and you were referencing the Facebook video that was speaking against Shabbat, because I also came across something speaking against Shabbat and how we should actually keep it. But the perspective that they were coming from is that the Shabbat does not begin in the evening, because another teaching that's circulating today is that Shabbat actually begins at sunrise opposed to sunset. But what I found interesting about that video that I saw is they never used Old Testament scriptures.
Nope.
They came from the perspective of looking at the resurrection. Oh, I'm sorry, not the resurrection, but execution of the Messiah. They came from that perspective, and they were supposedly tracing everything that took place, time that he died to the time that he was buried, and they were given these time frames as to the amount of hours it would have taken for different things to occur. But at no time did they use anything from the Torah, from the Nevi'im, from the Ketuvim. They never used the Old Testament scriptures. But I wanted to just add that to what you were saying in regard to the sister saying that we're acting rebellious if we keep Shabbat. One thing that Israel has to beware of when it comes to a lot of these social media sites or your YouTube, your Ustream, any vehicle that anyone can use to bring forth information, you have to be careful, because everybody who proclaims to be a Hebrew Israelite and bringing forth this information hasn't necessarily been called by the Most High. Now, one of the things we kind of touched on last night a little bit, as far as the false prophets, false teachers, false messiahs go, where does this begin? It begins with an idea. And what we as human beings have to understand, according to what we learn in the Torah in regard to the Most High observing humanity and realizing that they were only evil continually, the thoughts of their mind were only evil continually. And then you compare that to what Brother Shaul brings out, but he says how the carnal mind is, because it is not subject to the Torah. We have to remember there is a part of humanity, that sinful part, that does not want to do things according to the word. And we get ideas sometimes. And what we don't realize, these ideas at times, in the examples that were given, eventually cause people to move away from the correct path. So it's good that you're going this route and getting back to the basics, so that people have an understanding, as you say, of the foundational teaching. You know, I had a talk with one of the other Lorraine, and one of the things that we were talking about, because we are currently going through the entire Bible, there are things that we haven't visited in the foundation in the Torah for some time, which is why we're taking this route. So praise going on to be to the Most High, and I'm looking at the timeliness of it too, you know, timeliness of the Blog Talk being revamped, as you say. Well, we got hit with an ice storm on the East Coast. So it's like for people who would normally not come to the 11:30 class, if you want to get some word today, it seems as though you've been forced now, you understand what I'm saying, to attend the 11:30 Bible study class, just so you can get an idea of the type of subject matter that we'll be dealing with in the coming weeks, you know, and that's a blessing. A blessing in disguise, as they say, because when it comes to Shabbat, we want to be sure to glean whatever we can from whatever the Most High gives to us, you know, and we want to be careful not to be surfing around, hopping and jumping and skipping through all these other sites, because what that ultimately is going to bring is confusion.
That's amazing.
And I just wanted to, like I said, turkey back on what you were saying. My brother, looking forward to the remainder of the lessons and the questions or response of some whosoever is listening. So,
that's right.
I'm done, my brother.
All right.
Shalom,
shalom. Any other comments or questions? No, I'm just read one last passage. And
this is coming from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. So, it reads, "And account that the long-suffering of the Master is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you, as also in all his letters, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." So even back then, you had people who were, one, they take Paul's scriptures, twist them, and he says the other scriptures. He's talking about the, and because people don't have a foundation, because people didn't get the basics of the Torah, they twist these things that came forth afterwards. And they twist these things, like we said before. Some people are doing it on purpose. Some people are using the Torah and twisting the ways of the Torah for their own gain. They're doing it on purpose. They know full well what the word says, and they're taking these words and twisting them because a lot of people are in positions of power, and they don't want to give it up. All right? So Yahweh going to deal with them folk. He's going to deal with, all right? But some people are, they just don't know. They're just listening to their pastors. They're just listening to these other people who are in power, and they're believing them. And they're following them genuinely, and this, that, and another. Those people need to get the foundation there. They're the ones who really, I can't say that the other guys don't need it, but they're doing stuff blatantly against the Most High. They're doing stuff just blatant against them, and just they're raising their hand up against them. They're raising their head up against them, all right? But some people genuinely don't know and need these scriptures straightened out for them, you know, because they don't have a foundation. So, again, these are just basic, back to basics, you know. Yahweh wants us to have, he doesn't want us to be unstable, and he definitely don't want us twisting the scriptures because it causes our own destruction, all right? So if you have any questions, and this is another thing, we have to start asking questions. We have to start opening up, and I'm saying this, when you said it before, it's kind of like beating a dead horse. But hopefully, we'll beat the dead horse back to life. People have to start opening up with stuff they don't understand. There's no such thing as a dumb question. Open your mouth. You have to talk. If there's something you don't know, if there's something, and you're talking about anything. If there's something you don't know, talk. Ask somebody. Because if you don't know and you don't ask nobody, you still don't know.
You're still perplexed. You're still pondering. You're still at a loss for words like I am now. You still don't have an answer. And it's a command. If you really want to get into it, it's a command for people who don't know to ask, number one, the Most High. He says, for anybody who lacks knowledge, ask of the Most High. Ask of that living God who gives his knowledge freely. So if you want to know, you have to open your mouth. All right? But again, we're gonna end up here. We're going to close here. So everybody bow your head in the comfort of your own homes. And say, hallelujah. Father Yah, thank you for once again setting apart this time for us. Thank you, Father, for putting your spirit upon us, Father. Father, if there's any fear, if there's any doubt, if there's any instability, if we're moving to the right or to the left, Father, spirit away. Because it's not of you. Take away the influences of this world. Take away the influences of the adversary. Take away all the influences that are not of you. Making us that pure spirit. Wash us, make us into your image and into your likeness, Father. Bring upon us your peace, your joy. All the fruits of your spirit, Father. Allow us to just get closer to you and to open up that Torah and really get into your mind, Father. But again, fortify us on the basics, Father. As our master prayed, he said, give us our daily bread. Give us what's sufficient for today. So, Father, we ask that you continue to supply our basic needs in all ways, not just in this physical world, but in your Torah also, Father. Because the foundation of a house is what keeps it standing. So keep on giving us a strong foundation, Father. We ask, Father, all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor in the name of your Son, our King, our Redeemer, our brother, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. See y'all next week.